ministry at Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 17. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
These Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So well-watered gave them a little time to do things, like search the Scriptures a little bit more deliberately. But the word noble means well-born. Well-born. Now you can look at that two ways. One is you get born again and you start diving into the Scriptures. Another way is you were well-born, you were born into a prosperous world. Now, the reason I look at these guys as presenting for us the dilemma of being coerced is because they only get a couple verses. Even though Paul and Silas are there, and Timothy in tow, no doubt, there is this problem that they don't really stay there long. Okay? They didn't stay but 3 weeks at Thessalonica, but here it says, therefore, because they were searching the Scriptures and so forth, many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks. Again, the paradigm of the world, which was shifting things of the male and female, the women were prominent and thus mentioned very deliberately. And it says, and of men, not a few, verse 12. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also, stirred up the people, and immediately the brethren sent away Paul. And when I say coerced, I'm saying they allowed their teachers, who were really bringing them truth and stirring up their minds, to be secreted out of town before they ever got a chance to really interact with them. There's no book written to the Bereans. They were willing to hear, but when things got tough, they kind of, you know, stood back and said, you guys need to get out of here quick. You're messing up our situation. If these were well-watered people, perhaps their businesses were affected by being too Christian, by taking a position. Now, we don't know much about them, but well-born is a problem. It is said by Spurgeon, who made the connection. He said, you know, there are two extremes people can be subjected to, and both have come with their own temptations. One is prosperity and one is poverty. But the problem with prosperity is there is no inworked way to keep yourself from falling prey to all of its temptations. Poverty has a way of humbling us. Prosperity has no such thing. This is why Paul tells Timothy, warn the rich. Warn the rich. Because the rich will fall into many temptations. These guys were coerced to get rid of their evangelist. You need to shut down those meetings. And they shut them down and left. That's a problem. And that's a dilemma we face in our world. People get fired from their jobs sometimes because they take a stand for Christianity. Can you imagine being in some higher level businesses or organizations where you just don't want to do the unscrupulous things? You don't want to do the under the table kind of stuff. Or people are beginning to trade behind the scenes or whatever, you know, insider trading. All those kind of things that take place on higher echelons, it can undo a person who might have had a good heart that wanted to receive the word, verse 11, with all readiness of mind. Search the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. I suggest to you that when they were well-watered, that became a problem for them. And it says when they had the people stirred up in verse 13, that the brethren sent away Paul. Notice the word immediately. And you might underline that because that is the word that makes me think there was a coerciveness part in them that allowed them not to take a stand or take the heat that would come. If you think of the four soils, right? The seed fell on the stony ground, persecution came, and it sprouted up, and there was no root, and it withered. There might have been some of that going on here. Well, verse 15 says, and they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens. Now, you got to appreciate the fact that they had enough money to get him conducted. We're going to conduct him down. We're going to give him a good ride out of town. We're not going to keep him here. We're not going to go secretly meet. We're going to have him go because they heard what happened somewhere else. Can I just say right here that America has been allowing the devil to call the tune so much today that we're in big trouble? Because they threatened us, or the world has, you know, frowned upon us, and, you know, these things. Years ago, when my wife and I were first married, we watched a show called Alias Smith and Jones. Anybody remember that? It was a good show. you go back and you watch the pilot, their first bank robbery, or their last, however you want to phrase that, because they were going to try to get amnesty and get out of that racket, a little old lady was taken off of the train so they could blow the safe, and she says, young man, can I give you a little something to read? Can I give you a little something to read? He took his hat off, and he says, well, ma'am, what is that, a gospel tract? That's what he said. Is that a gospel tract? Oh, no, the sweet little old lady said. It's a decree from the governor saying you can get amnesty. Set the whole story up. That's how much Christianity had permeated things back then. Today, you have shows like Lucifer, The Exorcist, The Leftovers, The Handmaid's Tale, all of these terrible TV shows and movies and so forth that are permeating and confusing and ultimately going to confound a whole generation. Celebrating the evil and vilifying the good. Woe be unto people who call good evil and evil good. We've allowed ourselves to be marginalized, but thank God in the last little while some of the church has begun to stand up and to make some impact and inroads into the right again. You know about the preacher who was recently released from Turkey. He prayed with the President of the United States with all of the media snapping pictures as he prayed God would give him supernatural power. Praise God for the Oval Office. He said to him, can I pray for you as I understand it? And the President said, well, I certainly need it. And he got down on his knees beside the most powerful man in the world, and he put his hands on him and prayed that God would overshadow and protect that man. Praise God for some glimmers of hope for our future as a nation. The Bible says in verse 15, it says, they conducted Paul and brought him to Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. So his conductors are given letters saying, you guys need to get down here right away. So he left them back in Berea. But he says, you know what? You need to come down here and be with me. I don't need to be alone, and I need you with me for whatever reason. And so he made it almost on the level of a commandment. Verse 16 says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw that the city was wholly given to idolatry. Somebody has said of the city of Athens that there were so many gods in the city that you could hardly find a man. Isn't that something? They had gods everywhere. You've seen the depictions of the statues that come out of that era. And so here we find he sees it and it stirs him. And when you think about the word for stirred, you're thinking about a word that literally means to sharpen him alongside and to exasperate him. You know, he just could not believe it. He just could not believe it, what he was seeing. It was like it was driving him to do something. And so the Bible says, therefore, in verse 17, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Now, think about what this is saying. He is alone. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one, for they have good reward for their labor. If the one falls down, the other can help bring him up. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. It's very possible. I need you, Silas and Timothy, because this is not good for me to be here. I can sense my own self becoming a little less galvanized. You know, when you have a buddy by you who's standing there by the stuff and loving on Jesus too, and your knees are buckling, it's like, well, I need to take a breath and move on, you know, and stop thinking about myself. So maybe Paul had that, and this is why he gives a commandment. You guys come to me with all speed. But he could not sit there and see what he was seeing, even in spite of the fact that he was stirred or sharpened and grieved. He was appalled by what he was seeing. And so he went and he disputed alone in the synagogues with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily, verse 17, with them that met with him. Now, daily, they would be able to come in from the hot of the sun, and many times he would be able to pull together people from what we understand, and they would be in the shade, and he would be able to strike up a conversation, and others would draw near. Do you realize that we don't have such a forum as they did? Linda got to go to China here a number of years ago, and one of the things they were told about was they were supposed to go to English circles or something like that where they would teach English. So she was hoping to go there and find some place in, you know, like a cafe or something where people wanted to learn English and maybe she could strike up that conversation. That was the idea, but it never actually worked that way. It was much more fluid than that. Evidently, the Lord wanted something to get done, so gave her opportunities that were phenomenal. But my point is that God would have us witnessing. You see what I'm getting at? This is the acts of the Holy Spirit. And what does He do? He stirs us. People who are confused, the people just wanted to hear more. And for 2, maybe 3 weeks, Paul preaches in Thessalonica, undoes their confusion. No more confusion, now totally confident, echoing out the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 1 says they echoed out, they sounded forth the gospel from their little port city. We find the Bereans, they're getting coerced because life is kind of good for them. They secret people away and give up whatever good things they could have had for a little while longer, but immediately they sent them away. You see, my point is that when we come to Athens, we're not looking at coercion and we're not looking at confusion. What we're looking at here is we're looking at confounded. I told you this a moment ago, I believe. Athens means uncertainty. You see, when you take everything and you keep your options open, you have a hard time distinguishing right and wrong. When you can't say something is right without this, at the same time saying something's wrong, you have a dilemma. You have a crisis. And these people lived in a city that was filled with idols, fully given to idolatry, verse 16. And says, therefore, Paul had to begin to undo that. And in verse 18, it tells us who the primary leaders were of this situation. The Bible says, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? And others some, he seemeth to be setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. So the Epicureans. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but Epicurean is really related to pleasure. A pleasure-centered relationship with the world. You're looking at the world as if to get everything to make yourself more comfortable, more happy, and it's all about the sensual. And it doesn't have to be bad, bad stuff. It's just being able to do what you want to do. I'll give you a little bit of the backstory of what Epicurus taught. He taught that the aim of philosophy should be happiness and pleasure, not absolute truth. Think about that. Happiness and pleasure, not absolute truth. You may have heard of Oscar Wilde. Yeah, most people have heard of him. They don't know much about him. This guy was a debauched person, a writer, I believe it was, and he was a debauched person. And he would chase all kinds of evil and sensual sin. When he came down to the end of his life, he was a miserable wretch, and he knew it. And he would live according to this. Happiness and pleasure, not absolute truth. In physics, Epicurus would study physics, and he did it to explain phenomena and dispel superstitious fears. In other words, he was a man of science for one purpose, to argue against the phenomenon of, you know, something extraordinary or metaphysical, just to explain it away. Sounds like our modern-day scientists. Well, I'm a science person. I believe we came from a monkey. You just lost me right there because they're still here. Oh, yeah, yeah, well, I mean primates. I get it. I know what you did. You just danced over to another corner. They're still here. Primates are still here. Monkeys are still here. Gorillas are still here. And we're still here. There's no missing link. If there was, there would be. Amen. If there was, there would be. There would still be here. There's no missing link found. There's no missing link present. And there's no missing link ever. There just never was. Now, they study this stuff, and they get on the party line. If you want a good, watch a good film, it's called Expelled. And it's a very phenomenal thing about how people in higher learning educational systems were put out of the business because they began to accept the reality of a creator and of God Himself.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.